Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here today. Always glad to be here with you all, regardless of the environment in which this is being recorded in or how long between recording and airing this is. I say that because when I get to some topics in this segment, which for all I know can explode into something between when I say these words and when this comes to air. So anyway, you can check us out at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. And you find out more information about this show, find podcasts for the show, find out about the Al Nathan Show, too, while you're up there, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Because I host the Al Nathan Show now quite regularly, hosted it three times earlier this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So that's at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. We're on social media, too. Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, X at Main Street Radio. Now to get to some breaking news. Well, I don't know if it's breaking now because you're hearing this a couple of days after I recorded it. But since the time I recorded the Al and Nathan Show earlier this week, which I hosted 3 days this week, we have this situation in Minnesota breaking loose where there's been riots now. Federal courthouse had windows smashed. Total insurrection, to use the left's term. And why? Because a leftist decided to try and obstruct ICE from doing its job. So this person who was shot dead by ICE agents was trying to run them over. And she would rather them have been dead than herself, which was what she was attempting to do when the ICE agents decided to defend themselves, much to the chagrin of the Democrat Party, which is now in an uproar and rioting over this. And boy, there were protests all across the country. The organized protest machine really kicked into high gear. Thousands of people suddenly turned up on the streets that very night to protest the fact that one of their people did not murder an ICE agent. You heard that right. The day after they held this candlelight vigil for all the law enforcement people who were not killed on January 6th, but who they are convinced were killed, suddenly they're in the streets protesting the fact that one of their own failed to kill an ICE agent and instead herself was killed. And, you know, when I saw the reporting on this story from CBS News and Gateway Pundit, you know, where it was talking about how friends and family were like, this person's a kind, innocent person, didn't do anything. I knew immediately, yeah, this person did something all right. This person definitely was there to cause trouble. And sure enough, over the next 24 hours, we learned that, yeah, she was just a rabble-rousing troublemaker. She was hounding ICE protesters all day. She was pursuing them all day until finally she tried to run one over, and that was her fatal mistake, trying to run one over. And then her wife, of course, stated that she felt deep regret at dragging this person out to all these protests to begin with. Because wouldn't have happened if I just let her stay home. Now, CBS News, what a joke they are. They had this whole campaign about how they're rebranding. They're bringing more of the people's voices, less from the elitists and experts. So what people did they interview? They just interviewed anyone who was in favor of the protests. They grabbed a couple of the paid protesters that were standing by when this happened. They did not present a contrary voice. In fact, they did their best to dispute the narrative, even though they showed the video, which I guess, you know, for fair and balanced coverage, since the video was so damning about this idiot who tried to kill ICE agents, since the video is so damning of her case, CBS decided that to be fair and balanced, they need to present an overwhelming amount of propaganda to the contrary. Interviewing alleged witnesses telling you, don't believe your eyes, she wasn't trying to run anyone over, even though clearly in the video she was. don't believe your eyes. It was a needless death. And oh yeah, by the way, we anti-ICE protesters don't feel safe in the city with ICE agents. Gee whiz, really? You don't feel safe in the city when the people that you're protesting are still there. And this is a year now of rhetoric from the leftists, from the Democrat Party, referring to Trump's ICE agents as terrible things that you need to fight. In fact, the lieutenant governor of Minnesota earlier, not that long ago, said, you got to put your bodies, people have to put their bodies on the line. That's the exact quote. People have to put their bodies on the line, from the lieutenant governor, Democrat, of course, of Minnesota. Well, this woman put her body on the line trying to murder ICE agents. And what's the result from the elected officials in the Democrat Party, the same ones who tried to browbeat the right over the January 6th protests, the same ones who cried insurrection? Well, they're saying that federal law enforcement deserved it. They shouldn't be there to begin with. They shouldn't be in Minnesota enforcing the law and stopping rampant fraud that's costing taxpayers tens of billions of dollars. Well, now, you would wonder why there's that disconnect between their messaging on January 6th and their pro-insurrection, anti-law enforcement attitude about this fraud. But if you look even briefly at it, you realize what's going on. It's because this fraud is funding the Democrat Party. Without it, what would the party have at this point? Without the all these illegal immigrant communities that, according to Dr. Oz, the CMS head, they're using Medicaid and other and SNAP fraud in order to register these illegal immigrants to vote. So you have illegal votes, and then you have all this fraud money coming in from these fraudulent daycares in Minnesota, fraudulent healthcare claims in Minnesota, that are soaking up taxpayer cash to the tune of, you know, billions of dollars. Trump's latest guess was $19 billion, although the latest official figure was like $10 billion. You know, the number that kept just growing and growing in December of last year, as we learned more and more about this fraud, and that money goes to politicians. We have seen that the fraudsters donate to Democrat politicians, and Democrat politicians didn't want to upset the fraudsters because they didn't want to lose the Somali community's vote, because guess what? 40% of the Somali community was engaged in fraud of this nature. So that without the fraud, without the that they wouldn't have the Somali voters, I guess. Maybe that's the concern. They certainly wouldn't have the war chest that the Democrat Party has. But we saw that all throughout last year, not just with the Minnesota fraud, but with any other kind of fraud. When USAID was cut, Democrats lost a heck of a chunk of dough that was being laundered through USAID programs to NGOs back to the Democrat Party. And you wonder why Planned Parenthood is being supported as they fight tooth and nail to regain funding in court. You know, as if Planned Parenthood sued the Trump administration for money that Congress ordered them not to receive. Like, Congress is the one that sets the budget. The budget is actually a law, believe it or not. And the Trump administration was just abiding by the law by defunding Planned Parenthood. And that was apparently cause to take them to court for doing illegal activities in the minds of liberals and the judges that allowed the case to proceed. The only thing illegal in their minds is that Planned Parenthood wasn't getting that money, which was going back to Democrat politicians. I mean, we know the game. You have the alleged disconnect between the side of Planned Parenthood that receives the public funds, the taxpayer money, and the side of Planned Parenthood that's out there throwing cash at politicians like it was like they were, you know, some millionaire riding through with a limo through a poor downtown district of town throwing cash out the window, right? But Democrats want their money. They want their money laundering operation. I mean, you got to wonder at this point, what is the Democrat Party except the massive fraud organization that, whether it's fraudulent votes or fraudulent funds, how much of the Democrat Party would there actually be if it weren't for all this fraud going on? Would they have any money to do anything? Would they have any votes to do anything if it weren't for massive amounts of fraud? And we know just how tight this fraud can be in elections. We saw that in Georgia. At the end of last year, revelations were that Georgia, which Trump lost by 11,000 votes, well, there were over 300,000 fraudulent votes in the state that were found. So effectively, they can retroactively cede Georgia from 2020 probably to Trump. But that is the nature of this fraud. That is where it goes. You know, people say, oh, it's not that much fraud. There's not that many people involved. Well, when you get to tens of billions of dollars of fraud, when you get to election altering levels of voter fraud, maybe there is some fraud going on there. But Democrats, they would rather riot in the streets and try to kill ICE agents than accept the fraud. And of course, we see the nature of these riots and protesters as well. A lot of them are paid off. We've seen the, and, you know, I got to wonder too, just where did the origin of these paid protesters come from? I mean, was it the, were they on standby already for hoping for a George Floyd type event? Or were they supposed to be protesting in favor of Maduro, the dictator of Venezuela, and they just got instructions at the last minute to do something else? There's just a ton of money behind this. It's all phony outrage, and the media is just happy to play on it because it suits their politics. More Silk or Joe Show after this break.
In a rare moment in entertainment, a blockbuster film release and a major game expansion in the Avatar universe dropping together. It's a crossover that has movie studios and game developers building worlds in tandem. Futurist and innovation leader Matt Marr explains.
Instead of releasing a film and then a game later as a bonus, developers are now designing these worlds together from day one. And we're seeing that play out now with Avatar Frontiers of Pandora from the Ashes. The expansion builds on its base game Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, and players really get to live some of the key experiences from the new film on their own terms. Visually speaking, the game is stunning, lush, bioluminescent greenery, realistic wildlife, many of the features that have positioned the Avatar films among the greats. You can soar on your Banshee, master new Na'vi abilities in combat, and take on story missions that bridges with the film's events. Instead of watching the adventure unfold, you get to participate in it and control your own fate, all while uncovering never-before-seen parts of Pandora.
You can go to Ubisoft.com to learn more about From the Ashes.
Coaching college cheer has been my life's work. I have put together the most disciplined teams to ever take the mat. Oh, this is not them.
In the tradition of The Office and Parks and Recreation, NBC's new hit comedy Stumble is a mockumentary about the high-stakes competitive world of junior college cheer. Jen Lyon stars as Coach Courtney Potter, who needs one more trophy to be crowned the winningest coach in college cheer history. But after getting fired for partying with her team, she must start over and coach a bunch of misfits at a junior college in a tiny Oklahoma town. Kristen Chenoweth also stars as the hilarious Coach Tammy, along with Saturday Night Live alum Taryn Killam as Boone.
In order to qualify for the Nationals, I've got to get a team to cheer camp. I'm giving you the opportunity to toss girls in the air and get all the attention you want.
Damn, that's my dream.
Don't miss the hit comedy Stumble, returning Friday nights on NBC in January. The first six episodes are now streaming on Peacock.
Holiday shopping is in full swing, and many families are looking for ways to make their budgets go further. Research from Profitero, a third-party analytics and research firm, revealed the retailer that has delivered the lowest U.S. online prices for the ninth consecutive year. With more, here's lifestyle expert Justine Santanello.
During the holidays, shoppers want to feel confident they're getting real value. Profitero named Amazon the lowest-priced online U.S. retailer for the ninth year in a row in their annual Price Wars study, showing families can save on everything from gifts like electronics and toys to everyday essentials.
The study reviewed more than 10,000 products across 23 retailers and found Amazon's prices averaged 14% lower, with up to a 5% advantage over the next closest retailer in key gift categories.
Maximize holiday shopping by comparing prices and using member savings. Amazon also offers seasonal deals and is making it easier than ever to find top gifts at amazing prices this season in the holiday shop.
Learn more at Amazon.com.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence, Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all this week. Probably should have said Happy New Year at this point, but I hosted the Alan Nathan Show three times this week, so just didn't feel like I should say Happy New Year. That part of my brain was deactivated. But anyway, we are joined now by our guest, Dr. Monique Yohannan. She is a senior fellow for health policy at the Independent Women's Center, and she currently serves as chief medical officer at Adia Health. Dr. Yohannan, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Yep, glad to have you. So you have an op-ed over at the Washington Post that's titled, I'm a Doctor, I Shouldn't Receive Better Healthcare Than Patients. From what I've been reading kind of through the summary of it, since I don't have the Washington Post, I can't read the actual article. It doesn't really sound like you do get much better healthcare than the patients, because you had to suffer through wait times and exorbitant costs anyway until you finally found an alternative. So what was going on?
Well, I had a frozen shoulder, and I don't know if anybody in the audience has had this, but basically it's exactly what it sounds like. Your shoulder basically gets glued into place, and it's really painful to move. I looked into my insurance options, and between copays and the different people I'd have to go to physical therapy and all the different specialists and the hoops I would have jumped through, it would have cost me several hundred dollars to be able to use my insurance, and I would have been in pain for months. So I reached out to a friend. I called in a favor, and within a couple of days, I saw an orthopedic surgeon who gave me a cortisone shot, and I just felt dramatically better and frankly paid less than if I had used my insurance up front.
Wow. So just all you needed was one shot, and it was going to take you incredible costs and a long wait time to even see a doctor would that even have been the first step just to give you the shot right there? Would they have referred you to someone else and given you an even longer wait?
Well, that's the thing, is that the standard would be that this gets better. And this is literally the guidelines right now. Since this gets better for 90% of people within about a year, the advice is go to physical therapy and just deal with it for a year. If you're still having pain in a year, then maybe we'll do something. That just didn't seem acceptable to me.
Wow. And so what was this? So this alternative, though, is that that's not something that's quite available to the public, though, because you just happen to know somebody and be able to actually get the medical treatment you needed because of a favor rather than because this was how the system is designed to operate.
Exactly. You know, and this is the thing that really was crazy making to me, that there was one price if I went private pay to a direct provider. That price was very transparent. But the prices that regular people who don't have a favor that they can call in, those prices are hidden. And right now, our system is just not transparent. We don't know what things are going to cost. We have no idea what prices are. And, you know, this was one of the other points that I made in the piece that I had, is that, you know, there is legislation. It's bipartisan legislation, which would force people to reveal the prices up front so that people could make those decisions. But right now it's been stalling. It's called the Patients Deserve Price Tax Act. And, you know, I just think everybody deserves the right to get care, especially if they're in pain, and know what things are going to cost up front.
Yes, I can imagine that it would have a rather revolutionary impact on the medical industry if patients were to see the price tags up front for whatever procedures they were going in for. And a lot of overcharging that we've seen over the decades wouldn't have happened. I was just talking about this earlier this week. It's a story that I always reference in such matters. When my grandmother was briefly taken to physical therapy back in like 2014 or 2015, she had to be hospitalized for a little bit. And the medical on the bill after the fact, there was a line for one aspirin tablet that was $69. It's like their aspirin there is not 100%, 1,000% better than the aspirin you get in your bottle at home. It's not worth that much money. It's not worth paying 100 times what you pay for the stuff at home. But if people saw that up front, a lot of medical places, whether it's the physical therapy centers or hospitals, will be losing a lot of patients.
Well, you know, I think President Trump really is trying to help push for transparency. So you know, there are some basic things. Like in his first term, there was literally an act called the No Surprises Act that you should know up front, have an idea what your insurance is going to cover. But it was passed late in his first administration. The Biden administration never implemented it. So just think about it. If you knew in advance what your insurance would cover, that's not going to help you for an emergency, maybe, but a lot of things, it is going to help you. You can make decisions up front if you know the prices. And that's really what I think is important, is that right now, I think people pay so much for their insurance premiums. I know that I do. And yet when you try to use your insurance, it becomes other expenses that you don't even know what's going to be covered. So really, if we can have transparency about what the insurance company is going to cover and transparency about the real prices, then for things like elective procedures, like the shoulder injection that I got, you could shop around. That to me, I just want to give power back to people to be able to get the care that they deserve.
Yes, unfortunately, right now, the conversation is on Capitol Hill. It was just advanced earlier this week, the legislation for containing those Obamacare subsidies to the insurance companies. It seems more the dialogue is around empowering the insurance companies over empowering the patients. And when they're empowered, we get more of these hidden costs and exorbitant costs that we don't see.
Right. You know, the subsidies, I just think it's important to remind people, these were always meant to be temporary. The bill would not have passed originally during the Biden administration without the expectation that they were going to be temporary. There was no chance it was passing without them being temporary. The Democrats knew this, and I'm not sure what sort of game this is, but the people who are losing subsidies, it's not that I don't have compassion for people who make more than $100,000 a year. But those are the people who are losing subsidies. It's people who make more than four times this lower limit. You know, those people were never eligible for subsidies. It was never supposed to be that the taxpayers were going to subsidize people making $100,000, $200,000 a year. So insurance is expensive for everybody. But I just don't think it's true that the Democrats didn't know these were temporary. They knew. They made a vote knowing they were temporary. And now I just think that this is sort of ridiculous. So, I go back to what President Trump is saying. The money should not be going to the insurance companies directly. If we're going to have subsidies, that money should go directly to taxpayers, directly to consumers, so they can decide how to spend their money.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, though, regardless of the scenario, I don't see the insurance companies playing fair and lowering their costs, because the system seems to be designed to allow them to keep their costs the way they are or elevate them, the entire medical industry, it seems to me. And, you know, if you get subsidies, that just means you're more capable of paying for it. It's like when under the Biden administration, we had the subsidies on electric vehicles. Consumers were being given $2,000, $3,000 rebates on buying an electric vehicle. So the companies producing them just hiked the prices by the same amount.
And shock, that's what the insurance companies did too. The insurance companies have not given transparent coverage. This is, again, President Trump just in December issued an update that the transparency and coverage rules that he's been pushing for should be released. You should be able to see your plan. You should be able to see your estimates, and we should be able to see prices. And yet the insurance companies love that these things are hidden right now. All those fat cats, they're just making money by keeping things hidden.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Monique Yohannan, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show today to talk about this and talk about the Patients Deserve Price Tags Act. And again, listeners, her piece over at the Washington Post is titled, I'm a Doctor, I Shouldn't Receive Better Healthcare Than Patients. Real quick, we have about 10 seconds. Where can our listeners find out more about independent women?
Just go to IWF.org.
All right, listeners, that's something for you to check out. We got more Silk or Joe Show after this break.
Nearly one in three U.S. medical students are now training to become doctors of osteopathic medicine. Dr. Robert Kane, president and CEO of the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine, shares what's driving the surge and how it's shaping patient care.
Getting a routine appointment is becoming harder for many Americans, especially outside major cities. Demand for everyday and preventive care keeps rising, and many communities don't have enough physicians. Osteopathic medical education is helping meet that need by preparing doctors through whole person care, communication, and prevention. the skills patients rely on in clinics and hospitals. Our new study shows that osteopathic medical schools strengthen local economies and train physicians who often serve rural and underserved communities. It's a proven pathway more students are choosing because it prepares them to deliver the primary and preventive care patients depend on.
Find more information at acom.org. That's AACOM.org.
So the relatives have gone home, the cookies are eaten, and look at that. You've got a nice little pile of gift cards. Now comes the fun part. Maybe you're the sensible type who'll stock up on essentials. Hey, groceries totally count as self-care. Or maybe this is your chance to finally grab that thing you've been eyeing since October. Here's a pro tip. Load those cards into your digital wallet right now. Trust me, nothing's worse than finding a gift card in your junk drawer 6 months from now. Plus, those post-holiday sales, the best. You're basically spending free money. Stack your gift cards with clearance prices, rack up loyalty points, and watch the savings multiply. That's the beauty of gift cards. They work however you work. For nearly 20 years, they have been the most requested gift, and it's easy to see why. They're not just convenient. They're like having a permission slip to get exactly what you want. Brought to you by the Retail Gift Card Association.
The holidays are upon us, and that means office parties, entertaining friends and neighbors, and holiday gatherings with family. But hosting can be overwhelming. If you're in charge of the turkey this year, help is just a phone call away. Butterball Turkey Talk Line expert Andrea Balatevich tells us more.
The Butterball Turkey Talk Line is in its 44th year, and there are more ways than ever to reach us. We have over 50 experts standing by to answer your questions by phone, text, social media, or chat at butterball.com. We are here to help determine how much turkey to buy, how long it will take to thaw, and how best to prepare it to both wow your guests and enjoy time together. We'll be available at the Butterball Turkey Talk Line until December 24th should a turkey emergency happen. No matter how you plan to host, the Butterball Turkey Talk Line is here to help. Just call 1-800-BUTTERBALL.
Find more resources and information online at butterball.com.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here today as we continue our discussion of all the rampant shenanigans that the Democrats are up to these days. Like that Minnesota ICE agent who had to defend himself against a woman trying to run him over. I mean, y'all saw the tape. Everyone saw the tape. It's rather obvious what happened. Of course, CBS naturally, as I said in the opening segment, interviewed a bunch of left-wing protesters as if they were representative of Minneapolis and Minnesota and would possibly ever give a reliable narrative as to what happened. Of course, they wouldn't. Meanwhile, the night before, Democrats held a candlelight vigil, and I'm sure these folks were watching it, in part for the Capitol police officer who murdered Ashley Babbitt, then went on to steal $190 million of taxpayer money. They got their priorities in order, don't they? It's interesting, though, how on the night after the shooting, there were thousands of protesters that suddenly appeared in San Francisco and in Ohio to protest against this. Did the billionaires have them ready for a pro-Maduro protest and swap signs at the last minute? Or did they order their little minion in Minnesota to sacrifice herself so that they could do a George Floyd thing? Or are they just on standby with a few thousand protesters in case a George Floyd situation popped up? Hard to say. It's hard to say. It's not like we're going to get reliable media coverage. And like I also said in the opening segment, you know, I tried CBS's New Evening News with Tony DiCapo. You know, I actually was rooting for him because he had a more moderated stance during the first assassination attempt on President Trump back in 2024 in June. Like his co-host was trying to say it was like a hoaxed incident or whatever. Like his co-host, Margaret Brennan, who was ousted eventually from the Evening News role. Or no, she hosts Face the Nation. I don't know if she was hosting the Evening News. But anyway, so Margaret Brennan was on there doing the assassination coverage. And she was saying how Trump, like she was reading this tweet from Trump about allegedly being shot. And that's how she phrased it, allegedly being shot. And Tony was just like, well, you know, he actually was shot. That's not allegedly here. He had to be the voice of reason on that panel. But I saw an ad for this new format CBS was doing, promising less experts and more people. Well, they did that, didn't they? Tony had quite a few, I've heard people say, remarks during his coverage of the ICE incident, whether it was talking to Tom Homan, the Border Patrol, or just talking to audiences. Yeah, quite a few I've heard people say remarks. Might as well have been Robert De Niro in Raging Bull. I heard things. I'll have you know, that's my job. Where I go online to various comment sections and forums and social media profiles and wrap them up as a straw man with actual human stuffing. That doesn't quite sound right, does it? But that is not, I guess that's what they meant by, you know, they will focus less on experts and more on people and what matters to them. They just meant that they'll have a bunch of straw man arguments. Well, you know, I heard someone say, or it seems to me that people think this, or I've heard a lot of people say this. And then they go around and they only interview people that agree with them, as we saw with their coverage of this Minneapolis shooting. They didn't. And the only person that they interviewed that was actually opposed to their narrative was Tom Homan. Other than that, they had a slew of people from, you know, just protesters that they were talking to on the street, protesters who were there that they interviewed after the event. And then they also had clips of various Democrat officials cussing at like ICE agents and all that sort of thing. Creating this environment of hate, which led to this incident to begin with. Because if the Democrats were creating such hate for federal law enforcement, then this woman would not have felt compelled to run one over, would she? And as I was mentioning in the opening segment, she was just dragged to these protests to begin with and follow ICE agents around by her wife. So that's just how, you know, by proxy, this message is being spread even further into communities because, you know, her family, this person's family, didn't really describe her as being politically motivated or anything like that. Didn't really seem to have strong views one way or the other. Didn't just seem like such a nice, calm, quiet person or whatever. And then here she is on camera trying to run over an ICE agent with the wife saying that it's my fault. So that is how extremism spreads, I suppose. But Democrats don't see it as extremism. In fact, their reaction has been that we should cave into this domestic terrorism, that obviously federal law enforcement should not be enforcing federal law in the state of Minnesota. Well, if that's the case, are they seceding from the United States? Where's their note of secession there? Where's the, and you have to Governor Tim Walz too, allegedly, he was talking about how they might federalize the National Guard or something, or not federalize, but call in the National Guard to deal with ICE. Like, really? You going to do an insurrection here? That this is full-blown insurrection you're talking about. This ain't January 6th, like what you were honoring the anniversary of the other day. The one time it seems that Democrats actually cared about law enforcement was then. Although, should we really be surprised, though, because that's also the one time Democrats cared about security for a building. Everywhere else is a gun-free zone. Everywhere else they want police out of. They want school shooters to have the schools wide open for them. But boy, the Capitol building? Oh, no, you can't have anybody in there that's not authorized by the Democrat Party. Anyway, so they really have their priorities in order, don't they? But again, like I said in the opening segment, this is all about how they can steal from you, whether it's stealing your votes or stealing just outright your money. Because this, the billions of dollars that went to these Somali fraudsters that are being arrested and hopefully deported, that money is federal money, which means if you're not in Minnesota, you're still paying for the fraud in Minnesota. They think they have a right to your money, the Minnesota Democrats. They think they have a right to your money if you live in Virginia, if you live in Florida, if you live in Texas. They think they have a right to take your money and give some of it to these fraudsters in their communities in exchange for votes and pocket the rest for their campaigns. They think that's their God-given right. Well, assuming they even believe in God. They think that's their state-given right, because that's the highest authority they believe in, to do this to you, to steal your money for themselves. No wonder they want their people out there doing all this mayhem. No wonder they've been so violent and so angry. You might recall the Los Angeles riots that happened last year. When did those start? Those started when ICE agents came in to disrupt a money laundering ring. How many local politicians were in on that? How many were getting a lot of money from this? We know, at least with the Somali fraud, that people are getting money. Heck, Republicans are getting money from it. House Speaker Mike Johnson, you think there's going to be accountability in Congress? House Speaker Mike Johnson, one of his political action committees, allegedly, according to Lieutenant General Flynn, is getting money from these fraudsters as well. So where will there be accountability? Democrats are trying to get vigilanteism in the streets for supporting fraudsters, supporting immigration fraud, supporting voter fraud, supporting stealing money from you, the taxpayer, to give to their voters, illegal immigrant voters, and pocket some for themselves. And they support killing ICE agents to maintain that. At what point is the right going to decide, well, two can play that game? That's going to be a rather disturbing future, but Democrats, they'd rather protect their money than anything else. But we saw that with Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat out of Maryland, one of the most prominent Democrat voices out there. In the lead up to the 2024 election, he said if Democrats keep the House of Representatives and Trump comes in, well, he's not going to drain the swamp because House Democrats are going to refuse to certify the elections, and that will trigger a civil war, but he didn't care. He was more casual than I was about that. I was trying to imitate his tone slightly when he delivered his remarks. And he said outright, very casually, like it didn't really concern him, that, yeah, there's going to be a civil war, and yeah, and Congress is going to be immune from it. We're going to be protected, but the rest of the people won't be. Whatever, we don't care. We'll do it anyway. That's where the Democrat Party establishment is. So is it any wonder that they have no problem radicalizing their voters to the point where they will try to run over ICE agents, and then they go and air the video and lie to you to your face and say this video actually shows cold-blooded, as they put it, killing, as Ocasio-Cortez put it, cold-blooded. That's how they described an ICE officer defending themselves against a Democrat protester. They don't think that you have a right to self-defense, but we saw that, didn't we, with the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, right? Where all he did was he went to try to put out a fire. Then protesters, Democrats, tried to murder him. And they said that those Democrats had a right to murder him. Guess says they had the right to murder this ICE agent who's just there trying to enforce federal law. Democrats are the party of murder, it seems. At least if a law is being enforced against them, if money that they are wrongfully obtaining is trying to be taken from them, they feel they have a right to kill you to keep it. But then again, didn't we see that with the SNAP benefit issue last year during the shutdown when SNAP benefits were on the chopping block because the government didn't have money? There were Democrats out there threatening to riot and kill if their SNAP benefits were cut. They think that money is theirs, that they're entitled to it, same as the fraud, same as anything else they do. They think they're entitled to break the law whenever it suits them. The only time, like I said, that they even talk about law and order is in relation to January 6th, when they killed a peaceful protester with a gun and another peaceful protester was killed by being bludgeoned to death by police and allowed to just die there and be trampled because police attacked people trying to help her. That was Rachel Boylan, who they did that with. Ashley Babbitt is the one that they shot dead. And again, the police officer that shot her dead, well, $190 million in this fraud scheme. You got to wonder who tipped her off, who tipped him off, right? Who told him how to commit $190 million in daycare fraud? Was that a reward for his performance? Not just at the Capitol, but afterwards at the hearings and whatever? Was that just a little reward for his acting ability? Who knows? But we do know now where the Democrat Party stands and what they stand for and what supports them. More Silver Dish after this break.
The first ever Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans was a simmering success. The first 2,000 fans who brought a can of Bush's beans to the stadium traded it for free entry into the game's MV Bean section, with every can donated to support local families in need. Actor and maestro Keegan-Michael Key says beans and football make a great game day pair.
There's this kind of warm family traditional feeling about this particular company, about Bush's, and it's part of why they wanted to identify themselves with a bowl game, because it's another very traditional warm thing, especially in December, right? They went above and beyond in regard to branding and being a sponsor.
Fans enjoyed a pregame bean bash, and during the game, fans sported Bush's beans all over bucket hats, turning the stadium into a literal bowl of beans. And waiting for the victor, a trophy full of slow-simmered baked beans to share in celebration. Congrats to the Louisville Cardinals. Find recipes and more online at bushesbeans.com.
Holiday shopping is not just about gifts under the tree. The year-end period can also be a smart time to shop for a new vehicle. James Bell from Kia America has more.
As we approach the year-end, dealers are looking to close out inventory. So customers that spend time doing some research and knowing where the opportunities are primed for hitting the bullseye.
A little research ahead of time can make a big difference. Knowing your credit score, setting a budget, and narrowing down the vehicle you want before you arrive can help you stay focused and save time.
When buyers come in armed with information, the dealers are going to respect that and make sure that that process moves quickly and efficiently.
Waiting until the final days of the year can also tip the balance in a buyer's favor. With sales books closing between Christmas and New Year's Eve, dealerships are often focused on closing deals and setting up long-term customer relationships before the calendar turns. More information is available at Kia.com.
The Medicare annual enrollment period runs each year from October 15th through December 7th, and it's an important time of year for the millions of Americans who already enjoy Medicare coverage. It's their chance to compare plan options for 2026. We know that Medicare coverage can be confusing. One thing I recommend to help navigate through the process is really focus on two things: cost and coverage. For cost, you want to consider things like the plan's premium, deductibles, copay or coinsurance. And for coverage, you should look not only at the medical coverage, things like hospital and doctor visits, but also prescription drug coverage and any extra benefits. The annual enrollment period runs from October 15th through December 7th. It's a great time to compare those cost and coverage of the plans available. Lots of options to consider for your Medicare choices in 2026. To help you navigate, I would recommend starting with a visit to MedicareEducation.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe wrapping up this hour with you all. Thanks for tuning in. And we are joined for this final segment by Dr. Salvatore Giorgiani, old friend of the show. He is a senior science advisor to the Men's Health Network and a past chair emeritus of the American Public Health Association and former alumni association board member of Columbia University School of Public Health. Dr. Giorgiani, Happy New Year. Always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Happy New Year. Always happy to talk with you as well. Thanks for having me on again.
Yep, glad to have you. So, people now, apparently more than half of Americans prefer to use ChatGPT to diagnose ailments over doctors. And I can understand wanting to skip the doctor's visit, maybe not wanting to pay out the copay or whatever. But ChatGPT is not a reliable source by any means. I mean, I've asked it basic questions like, what is the phone number for this company? And the company has the phone number on their website, but ChatGPT just made up a number.
Yeah, I am very skeptical about whether this is technology is at its prime time for use in this way. And I think the problem has this community squarely on the healthcare not so great system that we suffer with. You know, we at Men's Health Network have done surveys about how men feel about healthcare, and 70% of men would rather take their lady friend shopping or clean the toilet than go to a healthcare encounter. Most women, same way. Things are very inconvenient. Schedules are not kept. I go to see my local guy, and I have to wait in the office. In a conversation about, gee, everything's going great. I'll see you in about 6 months. So I think, you know, one of the reasons people are deferring to a not very reliable new technology is because the healthcare system makes it uncomfortable for them. We talk about making healthcare more guy-friendly, but it also needs to be more gal-friendly, and I think we have a ways to go there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, though, I've seen reporting, and we've talked about it on either this show or the Alan Nathan show last year, I forgot with whom, but the rise of the use of AI by healthcare professionals themselves, whether it's the talking about possibly your doctor's visit just being going to an AI station, or whether it's AI stations being put into ER situations or emergency visits or whatever to self-diagnose as you come in.
I think it's unfortunate. I'm sorry, I stepped on you there for a second. Yeah, I think that also is very unfortunate and misguided. In 10 years, we may have a Star Trek-like virtual doc that can visit us by hologram, or we may have the ability to search quickly for information. But I do use artificial intelligence to look up information. Heck, you know, just going on and doing any old, essentially a type of artificial intelligence search strategy. So I think healthcare professionals who use it, the information is getting filtered through a learned intermediary with credentials, training, background experience, so they can discern whether the information seems right or just is off. But for the average person, I would not advise it. And it's fine to do a little bit of background research. The healthcare provider, one that you trust.
Yeah, and certainly not. Is this just an outgrowth, though? Like before we had AI, you know, how many people were just going online to like WebMD or some other site and Googling their symptoms and trying to figure out, well, based on these symptoms, what do I have and how alarmed should I be?
Well, I go way back too when you looked at these things up in newspaper clippings and magazines and all sorts of places that information were scattered about to answer questions. And so there's always been the drive, and I think it's a healthy sort of thing for folks to refer to the Farmer's Almanac kind of paper technology that we had back in the 50s and 40s and the 1800s. And there was always your group of friends, and Joe would tell me this, or Sally would tell me this. So there was all, I understand. But then we didn't rely on a not ready for prime time technology to make a self-diagnosis and try to self-treat. And self-treating is also a very difficult thing. You know, there's a saying in the healthcare areas that a doctor tries to treat themselves as a fool for a patient. That goes for people too. You know, if you're trying to treat yourself, you're just, you may be fooling yourself. You can never be totally objective, and you just don't have experience to make good decisions.
Yeah, and ChatGPT, just when you said it, oh, here we go. Just this article from Fox 13 in Tampa Bay, headline: ChatGPT dietary advice sends man to hospital with dangerous chemical poisoning.
Yes, I do it, and I don't know what the answer is, because these AI supports it away. They're going to become more and more prevalent. I was having some connectivity problems with AT&T, and the first thing I got was a 15-minute session with an AI, quote-unquote, support bot, which gave me bad information. So, you know, I think that it's here to stay, and it's one thing to be out of wireless, or one thing for you to have a problem with your functions, but it's quite another thing to take that information healthcare decision. And there are also younger adults who are very reluctant to go seek healthcare with a healthcare provider. They are particularly susceptible to bad advice via the internet and artificial intelligence.
Yeah, it just seems that the younger generations, they are less aware of the dangers of AI, or less paranoid, perhaps just because they grew up with it, so they don't see it as much of a problem as older generations do. And they're, you know, they grew up the iPad generation, you know, they grew up with screens in front of them, so they just came to trust the screens and not be so critical of the information that's fed to them.
Yeah, and it's also been inculcated in that AI is the best and newest technology. Boy, when I was 17, 20, 30, I wanted the newest and bestest technology. And the default really is sitting down with a healthcare provider, having and with some of the social isolation that's happened in the past years, that becomes increasingly difficult for younger folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Salvatore Giorgiani, appreciate you being on the show today to talk about this alarming trend with people resorting to AI to diagnose themselves. And again, listeners, he is a senior science advisor to the Men's Health Network. So you can check them out, but because we are done with you for this hour of the program, but you can also check us out at our websites, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. It's about to butcher that for some reason. And AlanNathan.com, because after all, I keep saying throughout the show, I hosted that program three times this week. Me seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-978-0600 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.